The podcast in which you're about to listen to is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of podcasters, in particular, Richard and his invalid co-host Vic. It is all the more tragic in that they were a young, terrible show, but had they had a very, very long successful one, they could have not expected, nor would they have wished to hear, as much as the mad and macabre as they were to hear that day. For them, an idyllic October afternoon recording session became a nightmare. The events of that day were to lead into the discovery of one of the most bizarre recordings in the annals of British podcasting. The Radio Nasties Texas Chainsaw Marathon.
Two of the Radio Nasties Texas Chainsaw Marathon. I'm your host, Rip the Dick, with Vic.
Shut it, you bitch hog.
Returning special guest, Ben from Extreme Horror Replay.
Lick my plate, dog, Dick.
Hello, Ben. Yes, if that doesn't give it away, we are on to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2. Yeah, also directed by Toby Hooper.
You know, watching this movie again, I realized that I don't like it as much as I thought I did.
Oh, ooh. Really? This one might.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is disappointing because we'll get into it.
We'll make it. I think as long as you don't try to compare it too much with the original, it's like Psycho 2.
It's a zombie. It's like Gremlins 2, more like.
Maybe that was the issue, was that I was trying to compare it too much.
Yeah, it seems like the filmmakers themselves went, we can't top it, so let's just do something different.
I was doing research about it, and apparently Toby Hooper only originally...
Wait, what? Research?
I know, right? Reference. Toby Hooper originally only wanted to produce the film.
Right.
But Basically, they didn't really have enough money to be bringing more people in, so it's just like, I guess I'll direct it. And then the distributors weren't really happy with it because they were hoping for more something in vain of the first one, whereas Toby Hooper just wanted to make a dark comedy.
Well, I remember reading he said something about he wanted to expand upon the dark humor that was in the first one.
And
it was like a lot of people didn't notice, a lot of people didn't react that much to the dark humor in the first one, so he wanted to explore that a bit more.
Dark humor. The only dark humor in the first one was Franklin making the raspberry noises.
Yeah, and then, you know, you've got the guy looking into the sun and stuff like that. It was kind of like just weird things that were kind of out of place, and they were funny. But, you know, kind of like the guy in the tire.
He's most of the background.
It's dark because he's like, you're a fucking weirdo, but at the same time, you're like, this guy's quite funny because he's in a tire upside down drinking beer.
Gunnar Hansen chose not to return as Leatherface due to a payment disagreement.
Oh dear.
Yeah, he was offered something. He was offered, I think they call it like a scaling pay. So the more money the film makes, the more pay you get. But apparently you need to have an agent for that sort of deal. And he was like, well, I don't have an agent. Yeah. So it was just like, okay, well, we'll give you this lump sum. And he was just like, no, I want more than that. And he didn't return. Yeah, not enough. Which is a shame, but oh well. We do have one returning actor with Drayton Sawyer.
Yes.
And shall we just jump straight into the film?
Yep. Go right ahead.
I wrote it down as Darwood. I don't know.
Darwood.
I don't know why. Yeah, Darwood Sawyer.
Yeah.
His name was Drayton?
Drayton. Okay. Drayton Sawyer. Darwood's a cool name, though. Like, that's a cool name.
Well, hello. This should be right up your alley, Vic, because you got that hard-on for hillbillies, so...
Yes. This is definitely one of the reasons I have a soft spot for this franchise.
Right. And, I mean, you know, terms like coon shit and...
Yeah.
Whatever else, so...
Yeah, this movie, you know, is like my paradise. It's just silly, isn't it? It's just, like, kind of over-the-top.
Yeah.
Southern tendencies with this cannibal family.
Just like the first one, we get an opening narration, which basically summarizes the first film. And then at the end of the narration, it's basically saying, on paper, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre never
happened. Well, they didn't find anybody.
Yeah.
So they're basically like, if we can't find them, like, how can we... Yeah. This narration is nowhere near as hitting as the first one.
No, definitely not. But again, it's how do you recreate that.
Well, I'm sure you guys got into it, but I know John Larroquette did the first for the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre for a joint, basically, is what I was told or what I've read.
Oh, really?
That was his payment. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
And this is before he was a a star. So
we're cutting to the title screen and the credits once again. You know, not really nearly.
The
on
tone
the
of the credits tells you exactly what you're getting into this movie.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's like it's telling you you're dumping into a different beast this time.
Yeah.
If the poster art of them recreating the fucking Breakfast Club didn't give it away.
Yeah. right.
So the first main shot of the film is two dickheads strutting about. One of them's wearing these weird fucking glasses.
Yeah, the other one's wearing a yellow jumper. It's like, get out.
The holographic glasses.
Yeah.
They're just twats.
Yeah, that sums it up perfectly. They're shooting at different sign. They're shooting at a sign with Battle of the Alamo,
which does foreshadow the ending of the movie.
Also get the introduction to our main character, Stretch, who is a DJ on a Rock and Roll Request local radio show.
I love Stretch.
Yeah, Stretch is one of my favorite Final Girls.
Yeah, I think she might be my favorite.
Yeah, definitely up there.
Have you seen her recently, though?
I've only seen her recently.
I saw her
on
in
Hatchet.
The In Search of Darkness documentary, and she's had a lot of work done.
Has she? Yeah.
She's looking rough.
Yeah, she was in Hatchet 3, I think. That's the last
Caroline Williams,
as
I remember,
recent.
Right?
Yeah,
if you're listening, Caroline. Not.
She looks better in this, put it that way.
Right. Yes, for sure.
So the drivers decide to ring up the Rock and Roll Request. And this is where we find out that the guy with glasses is called Rick the Dick.
Yeah.
So straight in my heartstrings.
Yep. But they're giving her a hard time, basically, aren't they?
Yeah.
Talking about a party or something.
Yeah.
And she's obviously getting the fuck off the phone.
Yeah, they've got no way of disconnecting them until they hang up, which seems like a flawed system on a radio.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlotte said this when we watched it. She was like, why can't she just hang up? And I was like, you'll see, she can't. And it's like, why? Surely the radio station, you just put the phone down.
Yeah, there must be something they can do to disconnect the line. Yeah.
Poor LG is in the background, like, fucking pulling out wires and shit.
It's not quite poor LG yet, though, is it?
Well, I suppose. The twats are playing chicken. They drive in front of this pickup truck kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did you catch his license plate?
I don't think I did, no.
Possibly?
Oh, it's FHA, or I'm sorry, FAH space Q. Fuck you.
Ah, no, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. No. Well spotted.
And that dude's laugh, the guy with the holographic glasses.
It's ridiculous.
Holy shit.
It's like, stop laughing.
Yeah.
Take them cunting glasses off and stop laughing. But yeah, you get kind of like your little start relationship between her and LG, don't you? Because she's like, I'm trying, darling. And she's like, don't call me darling. Yeah. But they somehow get them off, unless the kids just hang up.
Well, I think they do, because they eventually...
They hang up the first time.
Sake, not again.
Yeah, and then later on at night, they ring up, don't they? They bring her back in... I think the guy in the yellow jumper is like, Rick the Prick wants to see some bright lights and big titties. And he's like, I don't want to... wants to hear him. I want to see him. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. Crash the car.
Yeah.
That's the first introduction to your rednecks.
Yeah. There's a cool song playing at this point as well. But they get to a bridge, and the car that they played chicken with is waiting for them. And it kind of like pulls out, puts on the full beams. And they're obviously like, obviously getting their own medicine. They can give it, but they can't take it. And they're like, what are you crazy? Like, they instantly change.
Yeah.
From like dickheads to,
like,
oh my God, I'm
actually
scared.
What you guys are doing.
Yeah. But like, they're genuinely like, oh no, don't do it to me. Oh, fuck's
sake. I think we all knew someone like that at school.
Yeah, many of them. And it's quite creepy, though, because they drive forward, don't they? And like, the car fucking reverses.
Yeah.
Like, keeping up with them, but reversing.
It's been brought up a million times, but the world's longest bridge, because this entire, throughout this entire sequence, it's all on the bridge.
And you can see the bridge as well, like, from the first shot. It's not that long.
Right.
It's definitely not.
I mean, I know Texas is a big state, but come on.
Yeah. Bigger in Texas. But what seemingly is a corpse pops up in the back of the truck, and it actually turns out to be Leatherface wearing the hitchhiker's corpse on him. as you do.
Nice to see him back in the film.
Was it the hitchhiker? I thought it was the grandpa from the first movie.
No, because the grandpa's later on in the film as well. He's still alive. The hitchhiker is... They give him a name in the
film. Yeah, he's Nubbins now.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder if they gave him that name after he died.
Yeah.
They're called Nubbins.
But Bill Moseley's character is supposed to be his twin brother, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And Bill Moseley and Ed Neil do genuinely look...
Yeah, they look similar.
If somebody told me they were related, I'd believe it.
Yeah.
Obviously, apparently, Bill Moseley got the gig on this because he basically remade all of Ed Neil's shots.
Oh,
like
really?
As like a image reel, as like that was his audition tape. Like, here's me being the hitchhiker.
Fucking hell!
I think you can find it on YouTube.
Stretch is listening to this happen, though, isn't she? And it's because they all just like sounds like a buzzsaw, and then she kind of has, because you know in the opening crawl they do say that there have been reports of more
chainsaw murders.
Yeah, so she kind of, there's kind of a moment she has where she's like buzzsaw, and then she like switches. Yeah. She's like hang up, like she doesn't want anything to do with it. So the two, well, I think the guy with the holographic glass, Rick the Prick, he shoots Nubbin's corpse head, and then you see Leatherface's head like behind. It's pretty eerie.
And here's another thing, I don't mean to interrupt, but when holographic glasses guy, Rick the Prick, when he was shooting at the signs earlier, you know, he was hitting the posts, and that's just a 4x4 post. But he was hitting the signs, he was hitting the post. But when he's shooting at Leatherface and Nubbins, he can't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, maybe it was the adrenaline and, you know, he was scared or something. But I don't know. It's just, like I said, I didn't find this movie quite as exciting as I remember it.
So he chainsaw, where Leatherface ends up, he kind of like saws through the car, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he kind of like, he does it for a while. And then
he does it quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't even really see it, do you? But he ends up cutting the guy with the yellow jumper's head.
Yeah.
In half.
It's fucking great. Yeah, it's Tom Savini did the special effects
in this, yeah.
So
there's the cool shot from behind.
They are top notch.
You know when his head like falls off?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And yeah, it like so
sprays
good.
Up.
Yeah.
You're like, and he's got his hands like, you know, like comedically trying to grip at his head. Like.
Yep. Yep.
Very similar to Pamela Voorhees in the first Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Very true.
Decapitation.
Yeah.
The car crashes. So they're seemingly like, I think Stretch is just like, oh my God, I think I've heard a murder.
At least they hang up. They hung up.
They'd still be on the line to this very day if they didn't.
Yeah. But then we get introduced to Dennis fucking Hopper.
Dennis Hopper in a Texas fucking chainsaw movie.
Oh my God.
Ranger Enright.
Yeah. And he's supposed to be related to Franklin and Sally, isn't he? He's their uncle. Yeah.
Now, is he the uncle? Because, I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but when he finds Franklin in the wheelchair down in the funhouse area, he does say something about, you know, I love you, brother, or I love you, something like that. Or he definitely says, I love you, brother.
I think he does.
So is he an uncle? Or is he just...
No, I think what he is, at that point, I think he's talking to his... I'm assuming the dad is dead.
Yeah.
And he's talking to his brother, who's the dad. So he's kind of like talking, because he sees dead Franklin. And he's kind of like, brother, I can't let this happen to kids, or whatever. He's like, I can't let this happen. I think he's talking to the dad, because I don't know if he was even that close with these kids.
Yeah.
I think maybe he's doing it more for his brother.
For his brother, yeah. Because it's more like, I'm sorry, I've let my brother down.
Yeah, and it's, I think that, don't they say something like this is a couple of years? Like
14 years after the original.
Yeah, but it's like, I think it's a couple of years that he's been chasing this round.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think I mean, 14 years, he's probably not been doing it the whole 14 years. So maybe the brothers died in between, you know, like, oh, my kids, fucked.
doing it to avenge his brother's
death.
Yeah,
you know, his brother's dead. So maybe his brother was looking for the killers. And then, you know, the brothers died and he's went, right, I'll continue it because I've got fuck all. He seems like he's an alcoholic and he's done in this movie, Dennis Hopper. Because that time when you see him in the hotel, he looked gaunt.
Well, his face looked very bruised up.
The local cops or whoever don't really seem to be overly fond of him.
No, it seems like the cops that were looking at the wreckage, they tell him stuff. Whereas the coppers that show up after, I don't know if there's a difference, like traffic cops and maybe, I don't know how it works, but they seem like they're different cops because he says, he actually gives him details. He's like, oh, because he says, you know, like, this is just a fucking accident. That little guy in the suit, I don't know, he's supposed to be some high up, I guess. And Dennis Hopper turns around saying, like, well, one of them idiots sawed their head off at 90 miles an hour. And he gives the coppers that are looking at the records like a look, as if he's saying, like, why the fuck did you tell him, like, details of the fucking, the accident? So it seems like maybe he's known, you know, for probably being someone that just does his own thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, for fuck's sake, now he's come down here. Because I mean, they know he's here for the killers, don't he? Because he says, you know why I'm here. He said, oh, are you down here for party season?
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, no, you know why I'm fucking here, mate.
Well, he, like, the cop in the suit is basically saying, like, you know, you need to fucking hop on a plane and get home. And if you don't do it, you know, I'll beg the fucking paperwork to force you to do it. And then fucking Lefty just stands up to him and is like, well, you just do that, son. I'd like to see that
authority. Yeah. It's just like absolute dominance.
Yeah.
Straight up, isn't it?
After that, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, just do what you do. And you can tell this, like, suit cop is just a little fucking bitch, because as soon as he's out of, like, fucking earshot, he's just like, remember the Alamo, cowboy.
Yeah.
It's like, you fucking, you ain't got the fucking balls to say it to his face, though, have you, you dickhead?
I like what Dennis...
Yes, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're complete opposites, and they're like, Dennis Hopper's probably fairly high up, but he's got there just by doing it.
Yeah, no, whereas this guy, the book.
Yeah. So Stretch comes to see Enright in the hotel, doesn't she?
Yeah, because I think Lefty tells the other cop to, like, you know, like, get this story out there, give it to the press, put it in the newspapers, get it on the TV, and then that's where Stretch hears the call for, you know, if anybody has any information on what's going on.
Well, she's got a tape recording of the night,
yeah,
hasn't she?
Yeah, because she's looking for a way out of the radio business. She obviously wants to move on to bigger things.
Yep. Enright doesn't really want any of it, does he? He's like, no, fuck off. I don't need this. I need proper stuff. He looks fucked in this scene.
Yeah. I just love all, like, the calamity that's going on, like, near his hotel room.
I know.
There's, like, just, like, look, so much shit going on in the corridor.
There's two guys.
Oh, cowboys.
Yeah. There seems to be two cowboys that are, like, about to walk over to Stretch.
Yeah.
And then he lets her in, and they kind of, like, see him stand in the door, and he gives them a look, and they're like, oh, no, never mind. Like, fuck this.
Because she's wearing those Daisy Dukes, so yeah, they're eyeing her legs.
It's great. Stretch is great. Yeah, he basically says, you know, you're going to get in my way. He says something like, he's like, oh, these people they live on fear. And he's like, you know, I've got willingness to die. And he's like, so I'm not. You know, fear can't take me anymore. And then she kind of is like, all right, well, fuck this, then I'm off.
When Stretch tells him, like, you're like a joke in the local newspapers. Like, you need all the help you can get.
Yeah. But when she leaves, he has this little fucking weird moment where he's like, I ain't got no fear, Lord. And you're like, you are mental already. It's the thing about these films. Like, it seems like even the people that are involved in the incidents are mental. Like, they've all got something wrong with them. Yeah. It's like Dennis Hopper. He's like, you're fucked as it is. Like, it's a mental case going after more mental cases.
That's what makes this film so great.
Then we cut to LG making some sort of structure with food.
French fry house.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's what, is that a thing?
No, I think he was just bored waiting for Stretch.
Oh, right. I thought the way you said it, I thought that was like a thing they did in America.
It's an American, like, delicacy. Yeah.
No, it's nothing I've ever seen. I think he's just bored waiting for her.
Yeah, that's the impression I got as well. Because they're reporting on like a chili cook-off.
Yeah. Well, she sits down and I think she's moaning about Enright. And she's like, he's a horrid ass. And then LG's like, I'm a hard ass. Well, he's like, I might be a bit of a hard ass, but I got a soft heart. And you're like, oh, poor LG.
And since this episode is coming out long after the giveaway for Extreme Horror Replay, that scene was actually one of my trivias for today. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, was it? Yeah, I haven't seen that post yet.
Yeah. Just a close-up of the screen asking what movie it was from and who was building the French fry house.
That's pretty cool. I think, I don't know if I'd be, I'd remember it, you know, to be honest with you.
Only got a few answers, so.
How many right ones?
Well, the three people that answered were correct.
Oh, right.
Well, actually, a lot of people said Texas Chainsaw, the original.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think a French fry house would be too goofy.
Yeah, I couldn't see a French fry house in the original.
No,
Texas
I know it wasn't that one. So the chili cook-off announces the winner.
It's old Drayton Sawyer.
Oh, no.
Darwood.
Looks so Darwood. He looks so happy as well. He's like, I've won something again. Because isn't he like
2 years in a row? Yeah, they say. Yeah,
two. Yeah.
He makes this like really when you know because you know who he is.
Yeah.
The announcement sounds really weird because he's like, I love this town and this town loves prime meat.
Because they ask him like, oh, what's the fucking secret to your chili? He's like, don't skimp on the meat.
Did you notice at this point as well? Like the woman who eats the chili. Bite something, and he's like, "Oh, that's one of them crackers, and it's a fingernail."
The hard peppercorn, and it was a tooth.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. So she's literally got a tooth. Yeah, like she's bitten a tooth.
Oh, you got to watch out for those hard peppercorns, and he grabs it out of her hand.
That's it. Yeah, and he pulls it out, and you're like, "Oh, how many?"
But the thing I noticed about this scene was, I mean. They poured chili into the bowl on top of the trophy, and he's holding it right up to his chest, and the chili's slapping all over his suit and all over the floor and everything. It just, you know, I understand it's a chili cook-off and they're hillbillies, but come on, you know, have a little couth, you know?
Yeah, I suppose anybody but him. He's got fucking carcasses at home.
Yeah, have you seen where he lives?
Yeah, Lefty ends up going to Cut Right Chainsaws.
I fucking love this scene.
I know. Right, so you know how so Ben, you won't know, but in the last episode, I said, so far, the two I've watched, you know, there's a supporting character that stands out. The last one in the original was the guy that looks at the sun. I was like, this guy's a moron, right? The supporting character in this one, Richard, which I'm going to try and continue, see if I can get one every episode, right, is this chainsaw shop owner. Who is a fucking nutcase.
Oh, yeah.
Lefty goes in to buy a chainsaw. Why? He just kind of picks them up, throws the money down.
I know, it's so boss.
Chainsaws?
Yeah, he gets like one, you know, like feature length chainsaw.
It's the way he's looking at them when he's got like the two in his hand. He's like...
Yeah, well, that's the first point the owner's like, what the fuck is going on here, mate? And so he goes to walk out and that guy's like, they've got gas in them. You want to try them out a few times? And then Lefty just starts like obliterating
this like huge log that he's got outside. Yeah.
And the owner is like getting off on it.
I would be too, to be fair.
He says, oh, my aching banana.
Oh, my aching banana. It's like, what does that mean?
I think the banana's his dick.
Oh, no.
Could be. I don't know. Maybe.
When he starts like jumping around, like, you're like, oh, no. Yeah. Enright. Ends up going to Stretch. He goes back to her because he's like, oh, can you play your tape now? And she's like, oh, you come running back. And he wants her to play the tape on live radio. And she's like, no.
I can't do that. You know, the regulations won't let me. Yeah, and he's basically like, bend the rules. Just do it.
It's illegal.
FCC. Yep.
Yeah. They end up making friends though, don't they? He's not like...
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know...
Well, he literally says like, I need your help, missy. And this is where he introduces himself, like, you can call me Lefty.
Yeah. So, oh, man. I don't know what it was about this scene, but
Drayton, I love this scene.
Drayton's in his fucking, like, rolling grill. Right, so this is what I was saying in the last episode. This reference, is called, like, Last Roundup Rolling Grill, which is obviously a reference to the gas station from the first one, which is called Last Chance Gas.
Yeah.
And it's like, ha. You've made it mobile.
But it's just great because he's driving along and he's saying, the stars are number one.
No, he's so giddy.
Yeah.
But you know what makes me laugh? He's got a fucking phone in that van.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because I know the guys at the beginning had a phone, but it's just funny to see him have like a phone in his van.
Was it a converted RV?
Yes, I think okay.
It looks like
a converted RV.
Yeah. Well, you guys call it a caravan, right?
Yeah. But they're a bit different.
Yeah, caravans you tow. They're not the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Usually. Gotcha.
But he gets annoyed because someone's calling him on the phone. And he's like, I told you boys not to call on this phone. But they tell him about there's the radio announcement going out, obviously from Stretch. And you can hear this whole conversation, but just from his point of view. So he's like, what? Don't you be fooling me. And he put it on, here's the radio, and he's like, you've done it again, you fudge packers. You'll be the death of me. It's like, he just called some people fudge packers. It's hilarious. So obviously he's a bit pissed off. I'm assuming this is where he's like, go and get Stretch. Like, she needs to probably be quiet now, or we're going to get caught. So LG tells Stretch, he's moaning, because he's like, you know, you're in trouble, Missy, because we've been getting loads of phone calls about
complaints,
this. Yeah, about this... Did you notice LG spits?
Yeah.
In every instance he can get. Even when
later in the movie.
Yeah, even when he's got no face. He's got no face and he's spitting. He's like, oh, he's spit. This LG's got a thing for Stretch as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
She kind of like walks
out.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
And she kind of like pushes him out. Then she's like, no, not tonight. Goodbye. Stretch gets a silent phone call. Someone rings her and doesn't fucking talk on the phone. So she hears rattling, like, or rustling in the studio. She goes down and she can see someone like standing through the door because it's got like kind of a mirror, like a window kind of.
Yeah.
It's like what? I can't remember what that glass is called.
Two-way mirror or two-way glass?
No, it's like misted glass, is it called? Is it called misted glass?
Like a tainted window, yeah.
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 Tainted window? Jesus, that sounds...
Makes it sound dirty.
Just like an evil demon window.
Well, you'd know all about the demons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, hey, speaking of, I don't mean to interrupt, and this is completely off topic of the movie. You know, way back when, and I don't know how much I should say, but I've been doing these guest spots with people from Instagram, and I was recording a show with a gentleman, and on the episode that we recorded, I picked up some EVPs.
Fuck.
Right.
Yeah. I've got three or four of them from the episode. I can't really tell what they say, but it's almost like it almost sounds childlike. Now, when we recorded the episode, all the kids were out of the house. Nancy was out of the house. So it wasn't any of the kids, and it wasn't the TV. I don't know if you know, Vic, I mean, especially from your experiences, but I don't know if you know anything regarding that.
So I think
either childish or female.
The last time we spoke, because you said, you know, obviously you'd played us them messages before. I'd mentioned that I might know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
So I didn't know whether or not to fucking bring this up, mate, to be honest with you, because I don't know if you wanted to. I don't know if this is kind of like getting you involved, unfortunately, with whatever.
I think, by no fault of my own, I already am.
It's definitely no fault of your own, put it that way. I think so. I don't know how much you've followed with the episodes, mate, but you know, the experience I went through.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I listened to them all. I heard.
So that was obviously somebody, something, I don't know what to fucking call them, to be fair, but that was somebody personally that was doing that. Obviously, okay. I explained it. There's, as far as I know, there's several of these. There's definitely like some sort of fucking, even an agency almost, of these people, which these, not people, these demons, mate. Unfortunately, one of them is they've taken an interest in you, I suppose.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. The only problem is that if I've got the information correctly, the one that's attached, in a sense, to you at the minute, I suppose, is a bit of a prick.
Even better.
Yeah. He's a bit of a dick. So he's fucking with you, I think. They told me that the ones that I was in contact with when I was there, They've mentioned a few of these people, you know, that they were quite not close with, but they worked around. He was one of them. I met him briefly once, but it was only in passing, and he was a complete and utter fucking dick. And they said to me that he was a complete and utter fucking dick.
So he's what's his face? Payman from Hereditary? Prankster or something?
Well, it's not that he's a prankster. He's more that he doesn't really like us.
Oh.
But he does a job that is involved with us. It's kind of like you and me with retail, mate.
Right.
You know, with like customers, you don't like them, but you have to work around them.
You got to grin and bear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm not saying laugh about it, but
he does the wet work, in other words.
Well, in what they do, he's not going to fucking kill you.
There's
obviously information that I can't even bring out yet with you and even with Richard. But I have to let you know, essentially,
okay. This
is probably even to make you like, he's doing it to get a fucking reaction out of you anyway, to be honest, if that's the kind of impression I get. So the best thing you could do would be like Richard said and try and grin and bear it.
Okay. Well, yeah. All right. I mean, I don't really have much choice, but fuck. Okay.
I mean, as far as I can say, you haven't. just like me and Richard haven't. I mean, Richard's given me a look now, like, what the fuck, what are you talking about? Like, this isn't even really things we've got into, which it isn't. Unfortunately for you both, something, there are other things going on. I'm not even allowed to know too much, mate. Probably shouldn't even be telling you this, but...
I just think now you're a rocker, personally.
Now it's going out to a radio show. Hopefully. Hopefully I'm off my rocker, Richard. Look, I'm not going to get too much into it, mate, because...
All right.
It could make it worse, unfortunately.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Sorry to interrupt, but I just...
Figured... No, as soon as I can tell you stuff, mate, I will.
Okay.
I know it's fucked up, and you're probably sitting there going, okay, this guy's a fucking mental case.
Yeah, now I got that. I got that pit in my stomach.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully, no, that's fair enough.
Hopefully, you both will always think that, and you'll never see any of it, and or anything like that, or these like occurrences are literally the only thing you go to. But we can hope. I'm sorry, Ben.
Fantastic. Okay. So yeah, Chop Top shows up.
Yeah.
Let's move on to lighter things. Yeah. Good old Chop. Living legend that is Bill Moseley.
Yeah, he's like, I want to buy some radio ad time. And she obviously,
Bill, if you're listening, you can have all the radio ad time you want on this show.
Yeah.
You know, I love Bill Moseley because he seems like a really down to earth guy.
He genuinely is. Yeah. He genuinely is. We both met him. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I don't like this character. I know it's so iconic.
Oh, where's the kick button? right. Okay.
You see about them demons. I'm going to fucking egg him on now.
Maybe it's just because of the laugh that it's very similar to the guy in the beginning with the glasses. But I don't know, man. There's just something about it. And I want to love this character because he's so iconic. But just that you know, and the... I don't know, man. There's just something about it. No, and I love Bill Moseley because he's
like my favorite fucking characters.
Yeah. Especially with this franchise. With this franchise, he's like definitely one of the, you know, they've all got a really, like every film's got its own like weirdos.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of the tip tops.
Well, if you mention Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you obviously Leatherface.
Yeah.
And then the next person that everybody ever mentions is Chop Top.
Yeah.
He's iconic. I get that. But I get that he's supposed to be like, you know, a Vietnam vet and that he's having flashbacks and he's all twisted.
Man, flashback. Man, flashback.
But man, just, I don't, maybe it's the laugh or something. I don't know.
Hey, you're welcome to your opinion, even if it's wrong. the great
Nancy
thing is
said
though,
that to me too.
the great thing is though that Bill Moseley states that like this is the best film he's ever been in, and then on the other side Dennis Hopper lists it as the worst film he's ever been in.
But he has also said that about Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah,
that's what
I heard him say about Apocalypse Now as well.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think he was on so much coke.
Yeah, I was like, well, they gave me too much coke.
Yeah. I think they literally paid him in coke. He just wasn't acting. They were like, what are you going to do to act? And he was like, give me coke. I watched a documentary somewhere, and that was literally what they said. They were like, we just gave him coke. And then everybody had coke. It was like that was a fun set to be on, I assume. Everybody's on coke. And then Francis Ford Coppola, and he has a heart attack.
Fucking
there's
hell.
That. So, yeah, crop top. I don't know who that is. Chop top. He keeps scratching.
The funny thing is, I watched this like a few months ago. And for some reason, I couldn't get his name in my head. And I'd recently been playing Borderlands, and I kept calling him Claptrap.
Yeah.
Like, his name's not Claptrap.
So he keeps, like, scratching his skull, though.
Why has Borderlands came up in both our Texas Chainsaw episodes?
Fucking hell. Maybe Borderlands will pop up in every episode now.
You're going to look for an amusing side character. I'm going to look for a way to stick Borderlands in.
Yeah. But yeah, I was going to say Claptrap then.
So yeah, I've got it on you as well now.
Chop Chop's got this coat hanger. And he's kind of like, well, you can't see it at first, can you?
Well,
he's got this silly wig
head,
on,
isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got this stupid fucking wig on.
The Sonny Bono wig.
Yeah, Sonny Bono wig. And he's scratching his skull, and you don't know what the fuck he's doing at the minute, do you? But he keeps like lighting on, you know, like.
Yeah, he's got a lighter,
And he basically says, you know, give me a tour. Oh no, Stretch says, I'll give you a tour, but then you've got to go afterwards.
And I just love the bit where it's like, you're my fave.
Yeah.
Music is my life.
I know, and you're like, get out of my fucking radio station.
But yeah, the tool's great. She's just like, this is the lamp, this is a typewriter, and this is Mr. Rubber. Oh, Mr. Rubber, I like him.
She also has an armadillo.
Yeah.
Which is
reference to the first one. And there's the exit sign. Tour's over. Good night.
Yeah. And he's like, oh.
E-X-I-T.
Don't forget that he picks little pieces of meat off the hook, too.
Yeah, but you can't see it yet. Like, until his wig comes off, you don't know what he's picking. You're kind of like, what the fuck is he? Is he like...
I just love this little bit back and forth where they both say good night. Like, good night.
good night.
Good night. Yeah. He's fucking great.
But then he brings up the killing on the tape.
Yeah.
So he's like, you going to play it again? And he's like, what was it anyway? The Rambo 3 soundtrack? He wants her to sign a copy for a far out fan as well.
Oh, we should have signed that on our fucking copy to a far out fan.
Then we get one of the best jump scares, like, in horror.
Oh, my God, yes. This jump scare is fucking gold.
Yeah. So Stretch is kind of like standing. It looks like the record room or something, doesn't it?
It's the record vault,
She calls it the record vault, yeah.
Ah, right, okay.
That's where I want to live.
But she's like, the room's kind of like bathed in darkness, isn't it? You can only see, like, the doorway, and then there's darkness. So she's standing in front of it. I was going to say claptrap again. Chop, chop, chop. Fucking hell. I can't even say it now. Chop top. He's talking to her. I think he says something like, oh, what's in here anyway? And then Leatherface just comes out of the fuck. The light comes on and he's just there. Like, running. He shaves like, he dents Chop Top's head as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he comes out and like skims it.
Takes the wig off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's paranoid about that, isn't he? He's like, you ruined my Sonny Bono wig.
I think his plate was exposed the whole time, but it was just covered up by the wig.
Yeah.
He's obviously got some sort of artificial flesh on it, but he just scratches it so much that it comes off.
Yeah, and eats it. But I think it's more that they've slit that plate in and he's got some war wound from now.
Yeah.
And then he started scratching where the plate is and he's just started taking the skin off the, it's not nice to think about, to be honest with you.
No, it's fucking disgusting.
How long has he been fucking scratching that for that to get that big? So Leatherface runs after Stretch and she fire extinguishes him, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And then slams the door.
Well, this is where he says dog will hunt. Dog will hunt.
Yeah, because he also does that, bitch,
Leatherface.
Damn flashback. Yeah, he's like, you're going to have to buy me a new plate cover. He just starts going through the fucking record collection.
Yeah, he's just trashing it.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah. And Stretch is behind the door. She starts saying, like, they live on fear, like, over and over and over and over again. So I'm assuming this is her, like, psyching herself up for talking to Leatherface.
Yeah.
Because she kind of gets around him in this film.
Yeah, she knows how to, like, push his buttons.
Yeah. But LG arrives back. It's funny because he sees the truck and spits on it. He's like, that's not a truck that I know, so I'm going to spit on that.
It's like a dog marking his territory. That shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And he comes in, he runs straight into Chop Top. And he's like, look my plate, you dog dick.
Yeah. That's a fucking line and a half, that is.
I'll give him that one. I love that line. Lick my plate, dog dick.
Yeah. And Leatherface, like, knocks LG off the steps, and he falls down.
Yeah.
And then
Chop Top starts bludgeoning LG with a hammer.
Grim.
It's fucking
incoming mail.
I know.
Incoming mail.
Yeah, and he just keeps hitting him with his fucking hammer.
Yeah.
It's like, please stop.
It's even worse when you find out later that he's not dead.
No, I know. So how many times did he hit?
Yeah.
So Leatherface goes back to Stretch, and she hears the chainsaw turn off, and she doesn't know where he is, and he comes through the fucking wall. It's like, well,
just crash
can't through come it. Through the door. I'll come through the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah. So she's like on top of this ice bucket thing, and Leatherface is soaring into this ice bucket, and then she starts like,
well, it's very sexual.
Yeah, she starts like teasing Leatherface. She's like, oh, how good are you?
Everywhere.
How good are you?
Are you good?
And it's
are
like,
you good?
Oh. And then Leatherface
starts fucking the air with his saw.
Yeah, yeah. I know. He's like using the saw
down by his dick, and yeah, I don't know. That's the other thing. I know Tom Savini did the mask and all the makeup effects for this movie, but do you prefer this mask over part one?
No, I definitely not, but I appreciate this mask.
I do like the mask, but
it's really good. It's just more comical.
Well, it's like how Michael Myers' mask in the 2018, but it's not the original.
No.
But did Did you, and I was looking at it closely, but like, I mean, obviously it's different pieces from different people, but did you notice that like around his chin area where there was one patch, like it went up just under his eye down to like one side of his chin, but like that was the only spot that had like beard hair or something on it.
Oh yeah.
And then the piece that was on his, you know, like left cheek was bald. Like it, you know, there was no hair on it and everything. That was kind of cool. I like that, but I still think part one had a better kill mask.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the one from the first one is iconic though, isn't it?
It's
it just looks horrifying, the first one. This one is just over the top. It looks really cool, but it's like, you know, you're looking at the intricacies of the mask. You know, it's kind of become its a mascot kind of thing, isn't it? Like, so this mask is like dialed up to the 11. He even acts
tanned leather.
Yeah. But even Leatherface in himself acts more like, you know, like over the top of what he was in the first one. Whereas in the first one, it felt more natural.
Yeah.
This one, like, he's really going for it. You know, the
first one, he was just a killing machine. But in this one, he's actually trying to show emotion, especially later in the film when, you know, when Stretch is kidnapped down in the room.
Yeah, he gets more of a opportunity to show like some weird, like emotional sort. Like she gets around him by essentially going like, "Do you want my fanny?"
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, but yeah. She starts like saying to him like, "You're the best."
And he's like, well, the first one, she's like, "Are you mad at me?"
Yeah, no, yeah.
Why are you mad at me?
Well, it just gets him like, and he's like, "What the fuck? What are you talking about?" Like, what are you talking about, Willis? So he ends up smashing the place up instead of killing her.
Yeah.
But he goes down to Chop Top and he's like, "No, definitely killed her. He's like, "Look what you did to my plate, you bitch."
It's the bit where fucking Leatherface like rubs his chainsaw like up her leg and into the fly that gets me. It's like, oh God. This is starting to sound like the start of a Cannibal Corpse song.
Can you imagine me just turned it on? Whoops.
Oh.
Fucked with a chainsaw? Is there a song?
Probably. I mean, they're fucked with a knife.
That's probably tame for them. Fucked with the chainsaw.
Entrails ripped from a virgin's cunt.
Oh,
what a song!
That, I mean, imagine that. Like, imagine telling your mum. You know, if you're in that band and you were,
we wrote a new song today, mum.
Yeah.
What's it called?
You'll love it. Did you get the kind of similarities with Chop Top and Drayton? In the sense that Chop Chop has quite a... He flits back and forth, especially with Leatherface. Because at one point he's like, "You ruined my plate, you bitch." And then the next he's like, "Oh, you killed a real good Leatherface." And he keeps going back and forth. So I feel like it's a family fucking trait. Probably the hitchhiker would have ended up like it. And then what? Fucking Chop Top has been to Nam as well.
Yeah.
So he's buggered.
That's what fucked him up.
Yeah.
Nam.
So they take LG's body. Chop Top even takes the cowboy hat. And Stret sees them leave.
It's great because Chop Top's like, "I got one too. A bonus body." Like, fuck. You guys are mental.
Well, they don't even take Stretch's body. Why?
I don't know. I guess, I don't know.
Exactly. Like,
I can only assume that definitely Chop Top assumes that she's absolutely massacred her. So it's like, what's there to take?
They take it. They use the whole body, remember?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably a flaw. It's like, why didn't you go back for both bodies? Like, and he even says, "I got a bonus." Well, he didn't, because you're only taking one body, so you didn't get a bonus body.
Yeah.
But Stretch has
apparently
to go after
there's a
them.
Band.
Oh, go on.
I'm sorry, there's a band called Fucked with a Chainsaw.
Of course.
Really? Oh my God.
Fuck me gently with a chainsaw.
I wonder what the song titles are.
That is from Heathers.
It is indeed.
I haven't seen that.
It's decent.
Stretch has to go after them. Because Lefty's like supposed to be there to back her up, I suppose. Because she's like, "You're late," and then she's a fucking legend because she goes after them.
Yeah,
she's not really happy about it.
Like, I'm after you.
Yeah,
I'm on tears.
So they go to this like it's called like Texas Battleland.
I
want
to go to Texas.
Yeah,
Battleland.
But it's like it's destroyed.
Yeah,
like it's
run down.
I'm assuming it used to be some sort of like not
attraction.
Not theme park, but yeah. I'm assuming is the Alamo around somewhere around here, Ben? I mean, I know in Texas, but I mean, I don't know.
The Alamo's in Texas. I have no idea where it is in relation to
where they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
just like,
the Alamo, the Battle of Alamo is, you know, obviously huge in Texas. So.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Well, that's what the whole end structure is, isn't it? When she's facing Chopped Up at the top, it's like the Alamo, isn't it? It's supposed to be. Stretch follows them there, and Lefty shows up as well, doesn't he? And he's basically like, oh, I'm sorry, I had to use you. He's like, but I'm here now, girl.
Yeah, yeah. She was using her as bait.
Yeah. And she falls down a hole in the floor.
The most conveniently. Exactly, it's like she just lands just like, on the trap door. How are you? It's so slapstick.
Yeah. And then Lefty tries to get her out with a fucking corpse hand.
It's great.
He's like, grab this. Fair play to her. She's like, right in there. She's like, yeah, okay. Gotta get out of here. But the hand comes off.
From the elbow down, yeah.
So she falls down this like really long tunnel down wherever the fuck.
And it's obscenely long.
Yeah, it goes on for like ages. I was like, are they really this far underground? Lefty goes back and he grabs his like double chainsaw.
Yeah, it's so good. I love a good gear up scene.
Yeah.
He's like, oh Lord, help me beat this stranger that stands beside me and takes my strength.
I gotta wonder, do they really have, what was he wearing? A leather vest with, I mean, he had chainsaw holsters. He had like straps and everything for extra blades.
Yeah, no,
you know,
yeah.
Chainsaw blades. And I gotta wonder, I mean, I know, you know, the movie is the movie, but do they really have that kind of stuff?
No, I think it's just some silly fucking thing that they've cooked up to make him look silly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, because he looks stupid enough with like two chainsaws akimbo and then one, you know, like massive chainsaw. It's like this man's running about with three chainsaws. So I feel like they've just done him up to make him look, you know, kind of like he's done up with loads of ammunition, but it's not ammunition. It's chainsaws.
Yeah.
This is what I don't understand is like, how could Dennis Hopper not have enjoyed filming this?
Yeah.
Imagine you're a part of your career is like, right, we need you to run around with multiple chainsaws screaming, bring it down.
Probably because he's like, I was in Apocalypse Now.
I don't care what film I've been in.
Yeah, but he was also in Land of the Dead. So.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Like, there's some people just don't get horror, mate. Like, they generally don't get it. Like, even when they star in it, they're like, oh, I'm just doing it. It's like, I assume he probably doesn't have much stock in horror. There's a lot of people that do, like, you know, films that go, like, they probably think, I mean, horror is only
trash to them.
Horror's, like, only really just being recognized, probably for the wrong reasons, but is being recognized now more so. Do you know what I mean? Like, but now it seems to be some sort of more political, social standpoint to make your horrors about themes. And shit. We don't get very many. We don't get films like this anymore.
No, definitely. We don't get horror films, especially not in like mainstream.
No, like no way do we get, you know, like silly horror films.
Some wacky
fun. Yeah, it's just fun. Like, you know, like Dead Snow.
Everything has a political undertone now.
Exactly. It's like, you know, they use in the horror, which is fine. Horror's.
Yeah, it's always
a very good
vehicle
for if you want to do that. But it's like, it's balancing. Like I said, right, if we go back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the first one, that's the perfect way to do any social undertone, in my opinion, because it is literally an undertone. The film is about these kids going to a house and getting killed, but at the same time, you've got all this back stuff about the family where the social tone comes from. Whereas now, you know, a film like, I don't know, like Get Out or Us, or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, he's made that film to say that message. Do you know what I mean?
Another Get Out rant.
Well, I'm not going to rant about it, but it's just like, that's, you know, it's that kind of, it's just that is literally the best example I can think of off the top of my head. Where it's like, it's more about, unfortunately, more about the theme than it is about telling a fucking good horror film.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time.
But the thing is with Get Out is that it was a good movie.
Yeah, of course it was a good movie. It was very toe in the line, though, in my opinion. It would have been
Hereditary.
One
one more outburst and I will mute you.
I'll unmute you, Ben, if you keep saying that.
Yeah.
You have to find a new co-host. Mofskies.
We'll do the rest of the episode. We'll just talk about...
That's fine.
Why do you think Hereditary is shit, Ben? And Rich can sit in the corner and cry.
Not again.
Yeah. But Lefty runs in like a fucking mental person, like screaming. He's just, I think he's completely lost the plot at this point. Like, he was very toe in the line and now he's like, no, I'm mental. I'm running in with three chainsaws. This is strange. But he finds like blood coming out of the wall, and then he kicks the wall.
Then bleeding walls again.
I know.
That was another thing I didn't like, is that the blood was coming from the nose of the figure on the wall, which was like eye height for him. And then he kicks the wall, and the blood or the guts and the pile of slop comes out like 3 feet under where the blood was leaking from. I don't know, man. I like this movie, but I don't like this movie.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. It's fine, mate. Like, you know, everybody doesn't like the same thing.
Yeah, you're not the only one that doesn't like this movie.
No, I'm sure Dennis Hopper doesn't like it.
Yeah, right. But he made a shitload more money on it than I did.
Yeah, so. It's just a wacky thing, and I don't think they're probably going. People are going to notice that this is exactly 3 feet under. Like, I'm not.
Now, what? What version did you guys watch, or who made the version that you guys watched?
Arrow.
Okay. Now, right after he kicks the wall and all the guts and slop come sliding out, does yours have like two or three like quick cuts, like where they just repeated the same thing over and over again?
Yeah, you see the flesh. Yeah, I know what you're on about. Yeah, it does. Like the flesh comes out, and it's as if they've had to do like three lots of it and quickly.
Right.
They definitely have done that. I assume they didn't have enough flesh.
Okay.
Like,
wasn't just a flawed copy. No, because I have the Scream Factory.
Yeah, no, I definitely noticed it because I was like, "Ooh, fucking hell, that was a supercut!" And it was like, I assume they just didn't have enough flesh to keep it pouring out for as long, so they just cut it three times together. I definitely noticed it. Yeah, it was in the Arrow one, so all I assume right. It was,
so I wasn't seeing things.
No, but he revs up his chainsaws, and he's like, this is where he starts going like, "I'm bringing it down to hell," because he starts chopping at the foundations, doesn't he?
And he starts singing hymns.
Yeah, like, is it bringing in the sheaves or something? Yeah. He starts singing. So Stretch comes to, and she's ended up further underground. She can hear Leatherface, Chopped Up, and Drayton talking upstairs. They come in, don't they?
Darwood.
Yeah. They come in, and it's LG's body that's down there. And Drayton kind of has a little jig because he's like, "Oh, we can make sandwiches tomorrow." And he tells Leatherface to start chopping it up. And Leatherface has got this fucking, like, what is it, like a turkey cutter?
Carbon knife.
Yeah. That's it.
Electric knife.
Exactly.
Evil Dead 13.
yeah.
And Idle Hands, actually.
I've not seen Idle Hands. No?
Okay. Oh, there's a scene in Idle Hands where Seth Green's character grabs an electric carving knife. And he's running after one of the characters, and he's yelling, I'm Leatherface, and then it unplugs from the wall, and he's like, oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah, this scene is fucking gold.
Yeah.
I did like this part.
Because he's got the electric carving knife, and he's literally just, like, carving the skin off of LG's legs.
Like he's done it 15 times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know he has, but I'm saying, yeah.
And he's like, even like hanging up, like the.
He looks at it. He's
admiring his handiwork. Yeah. It's fucking. Love it.
He takes some off his chest too, right? His chest and then his face.
It's fucking off his arm. His chest.
And at this point, you don't realize that he's still alive. You just assume it's a corpse. You know, not that it makes it any more socially acceptable, but if you're going to skin a man, like,
Kill him first.
Yeah.
Poor LG.
I know. He's LG didn't deserve this. He's a fucking trooper and a half, mate. This is when Leatherface spots Stretch, and then she returns to her previous tactic of sort of talking down at him, I guess.
Yeah.
She's like, no good.
I don't know that she's talking down. I think it's more that she's just trying to flirt with him. Like, like flirt with him, but like.
No, but she's got around him once with it. Yeah. She kind of seduced him in a sense before. So she's kind of like,
it's like she talks down to him while she's trying to calm him down. And then when he's.
It's like a kid.
That's when starts the more flirty part.
Yeah. He puts LG's face on her.
Yeah. Like, did he think she'd like that? She's like, here you go. You can have this.
And he puts the cowboy
on. The way he did that, now. Because he was pantomiming her like being a puppet.
Yeah.
So I almost wondered,
that he was doing it with Nubbin's corpse at the start.
Yeah.
So I think he was trying, because she was at this point, she was asking him to help her get out. And so I think she was, or I think when he put the face on her, put LG's face on Stretch, and he started pantomiming, you know, like as a puppet, I think that was his way of saying, well, you know, just kind of like sit tight here for a second. And then, you know, when Darwood, or what's his real name?
Drayton.
When Drayton comes back, you know, we'll act, or I'll use you as a puppet and kind of like, maybe I'll carry you out or some shit like that. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. He seems to be like, in a sense, taking possession of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then because she reaches up to grab the mat, or, you know, his face, LG's face off of hers, and he keeps slapping her hands down. Like, yeah. you know, don't fucking touch. Just leave it alone.
Do what I tell you to do. It's kind of like he's dressing up an action figure or something. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's like a NECA figure with interchangeable heads.
Yeah.
Oh, when are we getting the Stretch NECA figure?
Yeah. Also, this, you know, with Stretch wearing the face and the cowboy hat?
Yeah.
Quite blatantly the inspiration the Devil's Rejects.
Devil's Rejects.
And the motel.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, and Otis does it in, is it the Devil's Rejects or House of a Thousand Corpses?
Otis puts it on in the Devil's Rejects, and then he puts it on the girl afterwards.
Okay.
So I think
okay.
they both wear it in quite closely in the Devil's okay. Rejects, I think, yeah. I don't think he wears anybody's face in House of a Thousand Corpses. So I think he's just making people now, like Fish Boy and stuff, isn't he?
Good old Fish Boy.
Yeah. So they get interrupted by Lefty's destruction. Leatherface ties Stretch up before he leaves, because she's trying to get the face off, but she can't get her hands up. Oh, my God. Got Nick Cage in both episodes as well. Can you do a good Nick Cage impression, Ben?
No, I can't.
Boy, I'll put the Porcelain Pilly Glads. I've got you beat on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
When you go on there, tell one of them to do the Nick Cage impression.
All right. Yeah, no, I can't do Nick Cage. I
think LG wakes up now and spits. I don't know.
Again.
I'm up. Because he's like, don't be scared, darling. It's like, you'd be scared if
yeah, even when he's got no skin, he's taking the caring role.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like, he's a trooper. I've got no skin.
Yeah. But he cuts her loose, and he kind of
Love the way he's like really struggling, obviously, because he's not my fucking, he's doing like a weird, like, slashy.
Well, I'm assuming that's from the head wounds. Like, he's got no motor control. Like, yeah, exactly. Properly. He's kind of all over the fucking place.
Yeah, he's been bludgeoned many a time.
Even when he's walking, he's kind of like stiff. And he's, yeah. I think it's hurting him every day. He's a trooper.
He really is.
But just before, like, he dies, he kind of, like, gives her, like, one last comment, because he's like, oh, I guess I'm falling hard for you, honey. And then falls over.
She does say she loves him, though.
Yeah, so he notices her wearing his face, doesn't he? And he's kind of like, oh, shit, and then just dies. And then she says, like, LG, I loved you. It's like, you could have told him he's fucking right? alive.
Would have been great comfort to him.
I like the way, I mean, because his face is obviously cut off, but I like the way they left the skin around his eyes and around his mouth, just like it was on the mask.
Yeah, it's cool effect.
I just love the fact that she puts his face and hat back on. I was like, you can have these. There you go.
Yeah. His ribs, though, look fucking ugly.
Yeah.
They look. It's such a good effect.
Like Tom Savini, like, man. He's just... Yeah. He's just up there, man.
Didn't Tom Savini say the grandpa makeup in this is his favorite?
Oh, really?
It's his, like... I think it's his favorite piece of work he's ever done.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently it's the makeup that he's most proud of, the grandpa one.
Not the exploding head in Maniac, or?
Well, I was going to say I forgot what I was going to fucking say now. It'll come back to me. Yeah, but yeah, he's done a lot of good effects. So Stretch is sneaking around. I think all the brothers are like arguing at this point. They do like through most of the film, don't they? Just argue with
they just squabble.
And Drayton thinks that it's Leatherface that's cut the support beams.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you've cut the main support beam. This is what happens. Of course, this is what happens.
Bubba, get your ass over here. You fucked up again.
Yeah, no. It's funny when he swears.
Yeah.
Because it's only like every now and again. Chop Top is dancing around with Nubbin's corpse.
Is this where Darwood starts bitching about the tax man? Or only the poor pay taxes or something like that?
Yeah. No, it's around here. Yeah. Because he says, like, he's he turns around to them. He turns around, probably one of my favorite dialogue in the film. He says, "You fool, sit around, listen to the radio all day, and sew in your own house down." It's like, again, it's like the, you know, from the first one, he's like, "You've ruined the damn door."
Yeah.
It's one of those moments where it's like, there's corpses littered around
you. He's always got money on his mind.
Yeah. Your lefty's.
Capitalism.
Yeah. Lefty's still going fucking crazy, right? Like, because he's just running about saying, "Bring it down, bring it down, bring it down." And Drayton's talking about his property tax. And he's like, "Yeah, the property tax fuck up everything." I think Stretch makes a sound or something because Leatherface spots her, but nobody else does. And so Chopped Up goes, and I think he goes to check on it with like a fire extinguisher. And he's shouting like, it's funny because he's shouting like, "Namland, Namland, napalm," and it's just spraying fire extinguisher. Stretch like scurries across, like into one of these tunnels, and Drayton like gets like a little like quick glance of her, and he turns around to Leatherface, doesn't he? Because he's like, "Did you see it?" And Chop Top's shaking his head, Leatherface is nodding his head, and then when Chop Top nods his, like Leatherface shakes, and he's like, "Well, did you? Didn't you? Well, did you?"
Calls her a booger.
Yeah, great, he's like
booger or something like that.
Some crazy booger just skits right through here.
Yeah. Raccoon shit.
Yeah.
Or coon shit.
Chop Top.
Claptrap.
Yeah, Claptrap. He runs about going, "Big crazy booger." This is where Lefty finds Franklin's corpse.
Yeah, or the skeleton of his corpse. He
apologizes. The way that he flipped on the flashlight and then it
just love the fact that after all these years, he's still holding the flashlight.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that he just would not give up for Sally.
Yeah.
But then it just, the light fades out onto Lefty's face. And that was kind of cool.
It's kind of like on and then off. It's like,
you know, yeah, because there's just enough power left in those batteries after 14 years to turn it on. Yeah. And then it just fades out.
So, yeah, he apologizes and he's like, he goes mental again, doesn't he? Because he's like, "I'll take you back to hell." And you're like, "Oh, well, never mind." Had a little moment at Franklin's Court. I love how, like, you know, what a lovely place they've set it in as well, with like the light shining down. Like, this was a memorable kill.
That was the only chainsaw kill.
Was the Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. So Stretch is making her way through the underground, and she gets scared by Lefty's chainsaw because she thinks it's Leatherface.
Yeah.
And she runs away. I think she like falls into like various corpses at this point. They all kind of like pop out. And then
This is where she's running through the corridor, and they've actually got them like posed in different scenarios.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because one of them is in like a...
like a beach chair. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Leatherface jumps out the way she's running. So she's kind of like stuck in between two chainsaws now. She doesn't know what's going on. But she tries to talk him down again. Like it's this time it is like it's a relationship.
Yeah.
She's like, "You know, I'm not having this. I can't do this." That's what she says. She's like, "I can't do this anymore." Mm-hmm. Leatherface, "No, don't leave me." Chop Top and Drayton arrive and they confront Stretch because Drayton runs up and he's like, "Are you the saboteur that's fucking up our house?" But Chop Top remembers that it's, you know, obviously Stretch and the DJ, and he starts saying
DJ.
Yeah, he's like, "Bubba's got a girlfriend." And
they're teasing Leatherface or Bubba.
This bit is fucking hilarious because Drayton turns around and he's like, "Is that what this is, Bubba? S-E-X? And he's like, "Well, if you want to know about
it..." No, he says, it's he misspells it. It's S-C-E-X.
Oh, does he?
Is this about sex? S-C-E-X, sex? He misspells it.
Yeah, because then he goes like, "Well, if you wanted to know about it, you should ask me. It's a swindle. You shouldn't get mixed up in it." And it's like, you've never been laid, have you, mate? I think poor Drayton is
virgin.
Yes, sorry, Drayton.
It's the teeth.
and the cannibalism.
To be fair, I don't mind the cannibalism.
I'm into it.
Because Drayton, think you'd be good at eating women?
Yeah.
Well, at least parts of them.
Drayton kind of gets like, you know, kind of protective over Leatherface because he turns around to Stretch and he's like, "You leave that boy alone."
Yeah,
it's like, leave him alone. I like him. He's my brother. But he's doing this kind of like flicking back and forth thing, isn't he?
Yeah.
Where he's like, you know, are you going to turn traitor for a piece of tail? And then this is where he says the whole fucking this. I think this became the tagline of the next film. Because he's like, you've got one choice, boy. Sex or the saw. Sex is, well, nobody knows. But the saw is family. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And because Chop Top turns around, he's like, you wait till Grandpa hears about this. They're all like giving Leatherface a hard time for having a girlfriend.
Jealousy, I think.
Yeah. And he knocks Stretch out, and this is where we get our next dinner scene.
Doesn't he say the grandfather is 137 years old?
Yeah, yeah.
Getting on a bit.
Yeah. Because Drayton's ringing the dinner bell. It's kind of like a parody of the first dinner scene, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, well, you know, this is it dialed up to 11. Because Drayton starts moaning about having to look after his younger brothers as well.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I wouldn't wish this laugh on a one-eyed ferret with mange.
What a line.
It's like, you've got such specific... Yeah. And yeah, he says that his grandfather is 137 years old and he's still as fast as Jesse James.
Is he?
It's like, he's not. I know he's not. I've seen the first movie. But they bring out Grandpa. And Drayton's like, Grandpa, strict liquid dad keeps him fresh as a rose. We was raised in meat.
That just sounds wrong.
I know. Well, this is where we get our actual confirmation of the grandpa's background, don't we? Because he says that the grandpa went crazy after the slaughterhouse became automated. And
because he says grandpa could kill the animals with one swing of the hammer.
Yeah, he said he could have done 60 he could have done 100 in like 60 minutes or something if the people who were dragging the cows away were faster.
Yes,
yeah. The air hammer or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Air gun. If they could have pulled it out faster, yeah. So they basically get Stretch ready for the hammer. Because Leatherface kisses her goodbye and everything. He's not happy about it. The slightest. He's like, not my girlfriend. And Drayton says to his grandpa as well, he's like, look, a slurpy booty. Do you say things like this to him every time?
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
A slurpy booty. It sounds disgusting to me.
No, I wouldn't want a slurpy booty.
Do you want my slurpy booty? Not really.
No, I'll leave it, I think.
I'll leave it. So Grandpa does his thing where he keeps dropping his fucking hammer. And you get like a really close-up of his face. And it's like he's getting off on her screaming.
Definitely.
He's like smiling and goes, oh, it's not nice. He ends up hitting Stretch twice, doesn't he? And Drayton gets annoyed this time and hits her with a hammer. I thought this is quite a...
throwing it at her.
Yeah, yeah. And then Drayton's obviously like, oh, this is taking too long. Like, give me it. But I thought this was quite a cool development of his character. Because in the first movie, he doesn't want to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
And then this is obviously 14 years later. And he's like, okay with it now, kind of. So they knock Stretch out. He hits her, you know, obviously done. And Lefty arrives. This is when he's singing, bringing in the sheaves. We come rejoicing. Because Chop Top starts singing with him. Like, he hears him singing. And he's just like, yeah, I'll sing this.
As Lefty's hiding in one of the pipes. Right above the room or something.
Yeah, because he pops out, doesn't he? And he's like, boys, boys, boys. And then Drayton turns around and he's like, is that the American way of entering someone's house? Like singing like that, and
For reference, it's not.
I usually do it. We do it in Britain. That's how we enter people.
Oh,
bringing in the sheaves. But yeah, Lefty's like, you know, boys, you should never been doing this. And Drayton's like, who sent you? Those sissies over at Del Mar Catering.
It's great. He just thinks every like rival business is out to get him.
Yeah, because he says, "Is that chicken shit burrito, man?"
Because he says something like,
this is a great line.
What's his? I am the Lord of the Harvest. And he's like, is that some sort of like health food thing?
Yeah. But there's a great line that Drayton says that's actually like a really cool line where he goes, because he's on about where he's from. And he turns around, he's like, well, I don't care. It's a dog eat dog world. And from where I'm sitting, there ain't enough damn dogs. I'm like, oh my God. That kind of hit deep. Jesus Christ. Like, we're all out for each other. Yeah, he tries to bribe him, doesn't he?
Yeah, just offers him money.
Yeah.
Actually, he took it. That'll do, actually. See you later. Good luck, Stretch.
Yeah. Stretch comes too, and Lefty ends up chainsawing Drayton's ass. Doesn't like it.
No.
He hides under a table. It's hilarious.
It's under the table.
Yeah, he gets his arse.
He says he took care of his hams.
Yeah, he's sitting there underneath, like, talking to himself, having this personal dilemma. So Lefty and Leatherface have their badass chainsaw.
There's nothing better than a fucking chainsaw. Such an impractical way to fight, but it's cool as shit.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, it's, I don't think you could do this for a very long period in real life.
I think they just break each other.
Yeah. Stretch is sneaking away. She gets, like, kind of ran after by Chop. They kind of have, like, their own villain to face at this point now. Don't they? Lefty's got Leatherface and Stretch's got Chop Top. When Jayton's underneath the underneath the table as well, he's like, the small businessman always gets it in the ass. Lefty ends up impaling Leatherface, like, fucking straight through.
Yeah.
Leatherface just holds it as well. He's just like, I'll take it. And then Drayton. Go on.
I was going to say, he's got to be in an immense amount of pain, but
yeah.
I don't understand how getting ripped, like, almost in half, he could survive to the next movie.
I think it's just
silly. I think the movie, the third, I think Leatherface or Texas Chainsaw 3 ignores the continuity of this film.
Yeah, it's kind of like a semi-reimagining. I think they take some elements from this, but they don't follow the plot. It's a weird one, number three.
Yeah.
And then the number even weirder. So,
yeah. Plenty of time to get into those bad boys.
Exactly. But Drayton kind of has this moment where he basically says, like, oh, why am I even doing this anymore? Like, maybe it's just time to shut down the show. And he's like, come here, Nubbins. And Nubbins has got, like, a grenade on his corpse.
Yeah. He just had that the whole time.
Yeah.
Also, it should have been in this little fucking sack.
Yeah. Also, the grandpa is up and walking at this point. He's trying to, like, get Lefty, I think, with his hammer.
Yeah, yeah.
He could barely move in the first one, and this is 14 years later, and he's dancing around.
It's so he's obviously wacky. Had some good juice.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But then Drayton's like, a man builds a good sturdy trade by hooking and crooking, and then kaplooey. The guards just kick him right in the balls. Not this time. At this point, Stretch is, like, trying to fight off Chop Top. I think she grabs, like, a wire or something and electrocutes him.
There was a lamp on the in one of the rooms.
Because she smashes
it. Breaks it over his head and then uses the electrical wires to zap his plate in his head.
It's just a fun little callback to one of the earlier scene with her and Chop Top as well, because she sees the exit sign.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, Drayton basically said, you know, I've got the last laugh right here. The grandpa tries to throw the hammer at Lefty, and he accidentally hits Leatherface, who he falls and ends up soaring Drayton more.
Yeah, I love this bit. This bit makes me piss myself every time.
Yeah. And then Lefty just gets up on the table and he's like, yeah, like triumphantly, like he's won the fucking Olympics or something. And then Drayton drops the grenade and it blows them all up.
You don't see him again, so
they all die.
Yep. But you don't see any bodies, so are they really dead?
Yeah. That annoys me, that rule, unofficial rule. It's like, stop doing it. So Stretch and Chop Top, they get out just in time, pretty much. And this is where they're climbing up the Alamo type place thing, whatever it is, like the tower kind of thing. And
I think it was almost to the gift shop. Is what it seemed like.
Yeah, like it seemed like the end of the attraction or something. Yeah, like you make it to the Alamo. I mean,
it was like the final stand. So yeah, like the Alamo.
So Stretch starts up fucking like, she straight up batters. Like, well, she starts hitting Chop Top to shit. She's just like, and he slashes her legs. She kicks him off the staircase and he's kind of like struggling to get back on. So she heads to the top and she finds the fucking, another grandma called?
Grandmother.
Yeah, grandma. Yeah.
But she looks very different to what she does in the first one. Like, she looks like she's supposed to be some sort of matriarch in this. Like, you know, they almost like idolize her, you know? Like,
well, yeah, it's like she's at the top of the tower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they've got like, she's got like a chainsaw.
Dressed in white.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's
I'm guessing like this is like the family heirloom chainsaw or something.
Yeah.
She goes to take it and like, you can tell like Chopped Up's like just massively offended at the thought of anybody touching this chainsaw.
Yeah.
It's really stuck on her too. That was the other thing. Like her hands were wrapped around it and everything.
Yeah.
So
like
she has a hard time getting it out of the grandmother's grasp.
Did you notice as well that the knife that Chop Top's got is the hitchhiker's knife?
Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
It's
yeah.
the same cutthroat
yeah.
From the first one. So he gets to the top, and he's like, "You hog bitch," and he starts like slicing his own throat.
Well, yeah, he's like, "Look at my face," and then he takes the cutthroat knife and
starts
then just
slitting himself,
like cuts his neck and stuff.
But he says something that's like actually a really eerie line, and he's like, "It's like death eating a cracker, isn't it?" And I, for the first, I was like, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, it's because he's like nearly slicing his throat. So for death, it's like a snack.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a deep line. Like, I was like, it's a little bit too, that's actually really horrifying a little bit to me. Like, imagine thinking like that. Oh, I'm going to give death a snack and just slice your arm.
I know, right?
Oh my God. So yeah, like you said, Stretch grabs the chainsaw from Grandma and Chop Top gets well annoyed because he thinks she's killed her.
Yeah,
because he goes up to Grandma, he's like, "Grandma,
you killed her, you bitch."
Yeah. And then he starts, she's trying to get the chainsaw going, and he starts just fucking slashing her to bits.
He's going ham on her back. With the knife.
It's awful. Like, she's gonna have some fucking scars after this. She eventually primes the chainsaw and she disembowels him pretty much.
Yeah.
And then he goes off the roof and lands in the it's like a slide or something.
Yeah, like it's like some sort of pipe or something. Yeah, just slides down it. And then Stretch recreates Leatherface's dance sequence
for
at the end.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it's because she's gone mental, but it's just weird that she recreates the same dance.
Maybe she's got a spiritual link.
Yeah, that would probably fuck you up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I assume she has gone mental.
Yeah, she's been through, she's had a right mare of a day.
Yeah.
You've ruined the Alamo for me.
Oh, punish me with your chainsaw.
Yeah.
And that is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2.
Yes, indeed.
Right. Shall we all move on to our ratings?
Ratings.
Who wants to go first?
I think I went first last time, so either of you.
Ben, do you want to give your ratings?
Yeah, fuck it. I'll go first. What do you got?
Yeah, we got.
Are we doing the fun factor?
Yeah, rating the film by its own merits and then rating it for the fun factor.
Okay, well, I mean, overall, you know, as I've already said, I mean, obviously, Leatherface is iconic. Chop Top is iconic. Lefty, you can take him or leave him because he really doesn't hold a big part of it. But Stretch is obviously iconic as well. Overall, I mean, I guess. 3.5, a strong 3.5, I think. Because you guys do yours out of 5, right?
Yeah.
So I would say a strong 3.5 overall. Now, for fun factor, I mean, it is definitely a fun movie.
Yeah.
There's something about that laugh from the guy in the very beginning and Chop Top's ass acting. Not his ass, his acting.
His ass is glorious. You really sort out my hams.
Even as much as I don't like it, it's still a fun movie. So I would go 4 on the fun factor.
Fair enough.
What if you were to give it a scoring on your gore score?
On the gore score, it would probably only be about a 6. There's not really a lot. Maybe a 7.
No, I think a 6. I think around a 6 is a fair. It's, there's not a lot of it, but what there is good, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wouldn't go any higher than a 7 for sure.
I would say a 6. To be honest with you,
Yeah, I think that's
so fair. Yeah, I would say a 3.5 for overall and then a 4 for the fun factor. I mean, because it is a fun movie. There is and I know it was played for parody, and I know it was played for, you know, somewhat laughs. So it's definitely a fun movie. I would say a 4 for the fun factor.
Cool.
Vic?
So for a film, probably at 4.5 out of 5. It loses the half point because it's just exactly like I thought. It doesn't live up to the first one. It can't. It's its own beast.
Yeah.
But it's very good. Everything it does, it does cool. It's just like when you're following something like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's always going to be a little bit disappointing. This film is great. It's pretty much, you know, it's got the effects. It's everything. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre dialed up to 11.
So, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, the kind of fantasy version of that kind of story, where that was really realistic and gritty and genuinely a horrifying movie.
Yeah, this is none of those.
No, it's just a really fun movie.
Yeah.
So, 4.5 out of 5. It's literally just because it's only just because it doesn't... It stands with the original, but it doesn't surpass it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fun factor, it's 5 out of 5 for me. This is right up my alley. A load of crazy hillbillies. It's just great. Like, everything is dialed up to 11. Like, Leatherface's mask is dialed up to 11. It looks really cool, but it doesn't look horrifying. Do you know what I mean? It's more... They're all kind of like chopped up. He looks horrifying, but it's funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, Drayton is, you know, all the kind of comedic things from the first one, he's dialed up again. He's like genuinely one of my favorite characters. It's just really fun. It's not too, you know, not too grand. It's just like we do a few things and then it ends up. It's great. It's a fun Texas Chainsaw movie. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but fun.
Richard. Right, so yeah, so I'm going to go slightly above both you guys and give it a full whack of 5 out of 5. Yep. I fucking love this film. I think this film does literally everything it set out to do. Tobe Hooper wanted to make a dark comedy, and that's what he did, and he hit the nail on the head, in my opinion. I genuinely think... this fits in well with the time frame it came out. If you think 70 horrors, they were a lot grittier and realistic. And then in the 80s, everything just got wacky. So I think it was just Tobe Hooper essentially doing the same film again, but for the 80s generation. Mm-hmm. I think, like you were saying, Chop Top is just one of the best fucking horror characters that ever is. He's hilarious. Everything that comes out of his mouth is fucking gold. If you're listening, Bill Moseley, I love you. But effects are great. This is up there with one of my favorite horror sequels. Like, this feels to, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre to Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 is what Evil Dead is to Evil Dead 2. It's basically they've done the same thing again, but they've just gone crazy with it. Mm. And then fun factor, obviously, 5 out of 5. It's just so much fun. It's just one of those great Friday night get a pizza popcorn horror flicks. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's as good as the original. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's perfect at what it does.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks for joining us, Ben. Before you go, do you want to give yourself a quick shout out?
Yeah. I'm at Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. Fucking listen to me, because I mean, what fuck else are you gonna do? I'm at Extreme Horror Replay Podcast now. Normally Nancy is my co-host, but this season has been full of guests and more controversial and gory and violent movies. You can find me at Horror Replay on Twitter, at @XHR_podcast on Instagram. And actually, Instagram is where I do most of my advertising and everything else. And if you ever need to reach out to me, you can find me there. But yeah, I mean, you can find me on all the same podcast platforms that Rich and Vic are on. But yeah, man, I mean, just, yeah, you know, I've had way too much to drink, so I'm going to stop rambling. But yeah, Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. Listen to us, because.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
The alcohol's kicking in. Sorry,
I wouldn't know how to tell people to listen to us besides because. It's like, we're not good. We're pretty shite, so, you know.
Right, that wraps it up for part 2 of the Radio Nasty's Texas Chainsaw Marathon. Check back in on Friday when we'll be jumping into Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
Yeah.
We'll see you then.
Right. Bye. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me, man.
No, it's good to talk to you again, Ben.
Yeah, you too. We'll see you, guys.
See you later.
my plate, dog dick.